Blog Talk Radio.
Evening. This is your Friday evening, keeping it real with Real Apostle. Keeping it real. What does that really mean, keeping it real? For us, keeping it real means doing things according to the word of God. That's what's real, God's word, God's will, God's kingdom. And that's why so many times you hear us, when we come on, we're talking about a situation and circumstances here in the earth realm and how we deal with them and how we have dealt with them in the flesh. And we compare and contrast that which happened in the flesh with the spirit, and what does the word say about what it is that we, how we responded to it. And that's one reason why we talk about our experiences, because we are human, and we are walking, we are human, we are spiritual in a human flesh. And so as we, and that's what you are. To be on this earth, you need a physical body. And as we learn as a child prayer, other than, now I lay me down to sleep, but I should die before I wake. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Now we got older, but see, the thing is also, even in that, nobody really taught us what it meant. What were we saying? Why were we saying it? Now I lay me down to sleep. Praise the Lord, my soul to keep. Some say they pray the Lord their soul to take. We were taught prayer from the beginning, taught to pray, most of us, and we were taught those, what our ancestors called the simple prayers, because we said that at bedtime, and we would get down on our knees, and we will pray. And I think that had something to do also with the fact that at night we were afraid of the dark. And we were given the assurance that God will provide, God will protect us. And the nothing, if anybody take us, it's God and not what we were told back then was a boogeyman. So, and then we graduated up to the next level of prayer, which we were taught the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to get into a little bit of that. We're going to debunk it and talk about it in human terms, what that meant, and whether or not anybody really sat down with us and explained to us what it was we were saying. And now, Apostle Miller has joined us. Good evening, Apostle.
Good evening to you, sir. Apostle McIntyre not on yet?
No. No, she gonna be the one that's gonna close the deal. You know, I classify myself as being like a salesman. And what people say, what are you selling? I'm selling Jesus. And a lot of us who sell Jesus, we don't ask for the sale. And what am I saying? That, what do I mean when I say that? For example, you go look at a car or house or something, then the salesperson going to lay it all out to you and answer all your questions. And then at the end, going to ask you, are you ready? And then what is it that I need to do to help you to move to a position where you will buy this object? Now, I know it took me a while. You know, I was a salesman once, and that's how I equated when I came into the ministry, the spoken word ministry. That's why I equated it, the fact that I'm a salesman, and I'm selling Jesus. And Jesus gave us God's word. So technically, and that word has a guarantee. And we can explain what that guarantee is. But tonight, God had me to reflect last short period of time on the first part of the Lord's Prayer. And the day I want to share that, and Apostle Miller would join in, and so that the listeners can connect to us and see that we have our feet squarely on the ground and that we are preparing ourselves to live in that kingdom that we see in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I know when he told me that at first, I didn't understand what the kingdom was about and what the righteousness was about. Now I tell people, I am a righteous citizen of the kingdom of God. And I said about a question that I can sit and explain that to them, why I say what I say and why I believe what I believe. But I'm going to read the first part of this, which is the prayer that we were taught as a child. It says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And for years and years, I would say that, and I didn't understand what I was saying. People didn't stop and explain to me what that meant. And I know the Amos and Andy show, radio program, not Kingfish, Andy. I think it was Andy. I think it was around the end of the year, must be around Christmas time, he will always recite this, the Lord's Prayer. And we all listened to it, but yet we didn't really understand what we were listening to. And for me, in my time of meditation and reflection, as God called me to, it helps a person to discern who the true God is and what an idol is. And whenever you sit with that, you go back to Genesis and you read that and you reflect on it, and you come away knowing the difference between an idol and the true God, living God. And a lot of us, we got off into idolatry, not realizing that we were placing more emphasis on what God created than on who God is. So as a result of going through that, I mean, it's a process for a lot of us. And then where is God located? God is located in a place we call heaven. And he makes that clear so we again are able to clearly define whose we are whenever we give ourselves to Christ, who reconciles us back to God. And the thing about it is, whenever we really, really begin to search the scriptures, and we come to understand where this kingdom is and where God exists, when he said, when we said, thy kingdom come on earth. So when we look at things through that lens, we see that this earth is righteous place. I mean, God created it, and it's the location that where we reside. So he gave that to us, the earth. I think it's Psalms 115, verse 18, where God clearly stated that the earth is for children of men and heaven is for him. So to me, whenever I read that, that made sense what Jesus taught the disciples to say, is that the heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And what's happening here on earth is very similar to what happened in heaven. And I remember my mind went back to church and what I heard there, that tradition is that we're dying. We can't get to heaven until we die. We can't get into the kingdom until we die. But this tells us something else. And when we read that and come into understanding and let the Holy Spirit lead you into all truth, then you realize that the kingdom is right here. The kingdom, what God put in the earth. And we talk about, they talk about the song they used to sing about we're going to run on streets of gold and we're going to have all these diamonds and all that. And whenever you meditate and reflect on it, God put all that right here. Where does diamonds come from? From the earth. Where does gold come from? The earth. So, you know, it helps you whenever you read the word and reflect on it. Well, I see Apostle McIntyre has arrived. And welcome, Sister McIntyre.
Hello, hello, hello. Oh, my goodness. I had just told my granddaughter. I said, now, you know, Grandma will be on the air tonight, so I'm going to get you fixed up here. And I'm thinking it's 5:30. And I looked at the clock. I said, oh, my Lord. I'm supposed to be on the air already. How y'all
well,
doing?
That's all right. We are fantastic. But we
praise
concluded
God.
That you are the closer. But you are the closer for tonight.
Sir?
You are the closer. I'm looking at things as a salesman. When you go buy a car, and then you got a salesman,
yes,
and then they send a closer out to close the deal. So we're selling Jesus tonight. And because we're selling Jesus, we need you to ask for the deal.
Oh, Lord. Hello, Prophet Miller.
All right.
Hello.
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 My left right hand, my phone on mute. Hello, how you doing, Apostle McIntyre? You know, he's talking about the kingdom tonight. And you and I had some similar, but I was going to let you to open up with the kingdom because I want to hear what this Bible college student know about the kingdom versus what I know about the kingdom. So I'm going to pull on Apostle Gwen right now, Apostle, and let her start it off.
All right.
Now look, y'all got to stay in that zone and let me hook up. You know, that's the kind of life. So, come on, y'all in the water, go ahead and keep on and let me hook up.
Well, I've been trying to get in this water.
That's what I've been saying. I said, okay, that's why I just been letting him talk right now. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to give me some more insight. Because the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are two different things. I think you and I was talking about that. I don't know what it wasn't last month, but it was some, and you made mention to me the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven.
We were talking about the kingdom of heaven is where God resides. The kingdom of God is within us. You know, he said the kingdom of God, God's way of doing and being right, orders, his commandments, his stature, that's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy, and the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. The kingdom of God is God's character in us, God's nature in us. To me, that's when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek my way of being right. Seek my way of living holy.
That's right.
Seek my way of, you know, my perfect example. He came and he said, behold, he bring the kingdom. Jesus came teaching and preaching the kingdom of God. Teaching and preaching it. So that was God's ways, his precepts, his ordinances, his statutes, his commandments, his way of being right, his way of doing things. And the kingdom of heaven is where God resides.
Okay. And then, too, when you go to Matthew, the Beatitude, it's full of what the kingdom, what's supposed, how the kingdom of God is run in this earth and in each one of us. So there, too, again, in the kingdom of God, it's without walls. It's not about a race of people. It's not about, it's nothing, have nothing to do with the, denomination. It don't have nothing to do with Jews or Gentiles, a race of people, because all people can be included in the kingdom, and that's one of the things that Jesus came. Jesus made it possible. It ain't about the Jew or the Gentile. That's why Paul said to the Galatians, it's not about the Jew or the Gentile, male or female, because all people can be included in the kingdom, and Jesus came. John the Baptist preaching about the kingdom. What was the kingdom of God like? And like I said in Matthew the 5th chapter, the Beatitude tell you, it even start off in Matthew 5:3, and it said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. And there too again, like I said, when you go down there and read it, it tell you how the peoples in the kingdom of God will operate the way we're supposed to operate. And like you said, Jesus said it was within us. And it's talk about that God way of living, Matthew 6:33. And that's why it's so important that people need to get their mind renewed. You know, in the kingdom of God, it's not no sin, you know. In the kingdom of God, we pursue the things of God. We seek out the way he wants us to live. We do it his way and not our way, you know. And I like I said, the Beatitudes, the blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There too, again, all of this, it's talking about what God requires from us. And that's why they even said, John the Baptist said, the kingdom of God is advancing. Why? Because it's every day people being born again and coming into the kingdom. You have to be born into it. You just can't automatically come in the kingdom. And you come by the way of Christ, you know.
Right.
And that's why the Bible tells you, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old thing passed away. But a lot of people, they look at that scripture from the natural perspective. He's talking about you get a new spirit. You know, the sin nature is broken, but you have to be persistent in renewing your mind. That is so important. And then it even say in the Beatitude, I like this one, in that 10th verse, it's a blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness, for there is the kingdom of heaven. There too again. You know, I used to look at the kingdom of God. I looked at it from the perspective, you know, once you get saved, everything will be goody-goody shoes and no but being in the kingdom of God going to draw persecution. You know, we don't want to say that, but it's true. It's going to draw persecution, you know, because people are going to persecute you for living the way that God wants you to live. They're going to mock the way God wants you to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You know,
so
when you were saying that.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Apostle.
No. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, you know, when you look and when it says, where were you in 10? Which are persecuted for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, heaven, sometimes something can have a dual meaning. And a lot of times we pray for heaven atmosphere. Heaven can be also, it's an atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that third heaven is where God reigns. You know, the Bible says there's heaven. So it can also mean atmosphere. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That means you can have the very peace that's in heaven in your home.
Come on.
You know, that atmosphere, God's kingdom in us is his way of operating, his way of being right. Just staying with the word, and kingdom of heaven, that third heaven is where God is. And then the kingdom of heaven can also be an atmosphere. You know, you said, boy, but just like heaven, God wants, he said he prayed that heaven would be in the earth, even his will would be done in the earth, even as it's done in heaven. So the atmosphere in heaven, God needs the church, which is in the kingdom of God, to bring heaven's atmosphere to the earth. This is why we find so many people not living according to God's word, because they're not bringing God's atmosphere, his way of doing, his way of being right.
That's right.
That's why in the kingdom, I like what you said, there's not Jew, there's not Gentile, there's not male, there's not female. You got people tripping now, because if a woman get up and preach, I ain't trying to go off, take y'all off into nothing. But I'm just saying, the kingdom of God is made up of every man, woman, boy, and girl.
That's right.
Regardless of ethnicity, regardless of what language you speak, if Jesus lives in your heart, you are a part of the kingdom of God. It has nothing to do with the outward man. It has nothing to do with male or female, Jew or Gentile. He said, we're all one. We're just that one new man. So every church that is based on Jesus Christ being Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ being the door, Jesus Christ being the way, then that church is a part of the kingdom. If you've got an organization and it's not built on Jesus as the door, Jesus as the way, Jesus the one died, then that's not the kingdom of God. That's not the kingdom of heaven. That's what Paul said. They come preaching some other gospel. There is no other gospel. He said, let them be
You know, Apostle, even as you look at it, when did Jesus came preaching about the kingdom of God? He came at the end of the old covenant. Why? Because the old covenant had certain laws that you had to live by. But in this new covenant, which is the kingdom, what he's talking about, come there, that it don't have that. It's not about race. It's like you said, it's an atmosphere. Don't have in the walls, you know. It's not limited to the color of your skin. It's not limited.
Come on now.
It's not limited to none of that. And this is what a lot of people haven't renewed their mind to. Because like you said, if you know, people still look at you, that's a female, that's a male. But Paul tried, he brought that over to the Galatians, those Jews. He said, in the king, it's not a male or female. Because now in Revelation, it said he's coming back for the bride. Now, when we define bride from the natural, we look at a bride as a female.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you want to say he's coming back for the bride, if you define it according to the natural, that means if it's such thing, he ain't coming for nobody but the female. But he's coming back for his bride. So the kingdom of God don't have anything to do with your gender. It don't have nothing to do with none of that. Your background, none of that. That's why when you come to, when Christ come in your life, he came and he introduced us to this kingdom that God was talking about. And he also told us how we supposed to live, how to enter to the kingdom. Do you remember when he told Nicodemus, when Nicodemus said? Yes, sir.
You're right. He told us how to live. And whenever I was meditating and reflecting, I was led to Matthew chapter 6. And it told me in Matthew chapter 6 how to give. It says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. And we are righteous citizens of the kingdom. And that's how we are to give. And then he tells us, prayer. He says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrite. And I classify that a lot of people are auditioning when they pray, or they're entertaining in their prayer time. And it becomes something that they are doing to please others. And then he says, fasting. A lot of people, they fast when they fast and make a big deal out of it. But if we are righteous citizens of the kingdom, that is how he lays it out, how we are to behave when we fast. And the other one, he made it clear, treasures in heaven. He tells us, do not store up treasures on earth. And whenever I look at what's happening in the world today, I see a combination of all of that, and people call themselves that they are righteous members of the kingdom, but they are not following what Jesus laid out, the characteristics of a righteous person. And then
okay,
do not
apostle.
Worry.
Apostle. Define what did Jesus mean when he said righteousness? What we mean when the Bible talk about righteousness? What is righteousness?
You explained it already. What righteousness is living according to the word of God. That's what I
being
heard
in right
earlier.
Standing with God. Okay, being in right standing with God. The way we get in right standing with God, we have to be born again. Because in Isaiah, he said, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And there too, again, when people talk about righteousness, some people think you said that you're perfect without fault and all of that. But righteous means when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it put us back in right standing with God. That's why Jesus came. You didn't hear nothing about the kingdom of God till Jesus came on the scene. He introduced all mankind to the kingdom of God. And like you said in Matthew 6, he started out telling us, now like you were saying about the treasure, whenever we give, we supposed to give based upon our relationship, based upon the first commandment, loving God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. And see, when we start talking about the righteousness of God, that means people's in right standing. Well, when people get in right standing with God by being born again, and they get their mind renewed, like you said, based upon what the Word says, even with fasting, you'll learn the Holy Spirit will bring and teach us what it means, how God wants us to fast. I think in Isaiah 58, it talk about the kind of fast that God is pleased with. And like you said, you don't fast so people could see, you know, oh, I'm fasting. You don't supposed to go around and let nobody know you fasted. That's what Jesus even brought out. And even with the giving, because a lot of people think when you come in the kingdom, you don't supposed to give. But Jesus made it plain. But I just wanted to kind of inject in there what it meant when it said righteousness. Because righteousness, like you said, God, we're doing things. But we come in righteousness when we accept Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
Yeah, and once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're going to have to get in the Word and start studying.
That's right.
What that means. And
that's
what
right.
He is showing me is, carry me back over to, again, Matthew chapter 6, what it means to give. And once I went there, that's why I didn't even have people coming up with a tithing box and tithers. That separates people. People begin to give to be seen whenever it made it clear. You give from your heart. What's in your heart? Once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then your internal self, that spiritual self, began to grow. And prayer, I had people in my church that they were auditioning for the audience, for the congregation, or they were entertaining the congregation. It was one person that prayed the same prayer verbatim every Sunday. And the congregation, they just loved it. Now, begin to think on that. Who is he praying to? He was not praying to God. He was praying to the congregation. And that's where he got his gratification from the people. Because they patted him on the back for his prayer, and they wanted him to pray every Sunday. And then the fasting, you have people, I used to do the 40-day fasting, and, you know, you have people going around, well, we fasting, and they want you to know that they are fasting whenever it doesn't say that. You can fast. You can fast in silence, just between you and your God, depending on the type of relationship, where you are in your relationship with God. And do not worry. This is very interesting. Do not worry. I keep playing it over and over, what Apostle Miller said about, you know, we worried about where we're going to get the money from to put gas, and the gas price is going up. Where we're going to get money from to put the food. That, it's clear here. We are not to worry about that. We have, if we are followers of the teaching of Jesus, because Jesus got that message from the Father. In John 17, he made it clear. He gave us that which God gave him for us. And it is, the treasures in heaven. I mean, I found that out. My whole thing was I wanted that. We had a new Volvo in 72 rather. And then I saw this Volkswagen bus. I had to have it. Well, God showed me that I did not need to buy that bus when I bought it based on what man said was going to happen. So all I had to do was to wait, and I would have been able to enjoy the bus. And the whole thing is that what I've learned and we're all at different places in our relationship and in our walk with God. What I've learned, if I follow these basic things here, these are the basic things that Jesus gave, laid out, then I come into a stronger relationship with God.
Again, even with the giving is part of the kingdom because God is a giver. And I think sometimes, when I first got saved, I wasn't giving tithes. I didn't know anything about no tithes. That had never been taught to me. Because they always said you just get $2 or $3. You go to, that's the way I was taught. Just bring some.
Just bring some.
I had never heard anything about tithing. And that's when the Holy Spirit began to teach me. He began to lead me in the word. And that's why when we first get saved, we get our mind renewed. You got some people saved now. They don't believe in giving tithes. They don't believe in giving an offering because the enemy constantly telling them they can't afford not to. Now, like I said, I didn't know anything about tithing. And this is my testimony. I don't know about nobody, but I was so broke I couldn't pay attention. I was struggling all the time. I couldn't seem to get ahead. And when I began to cry to God about it, God brought me into Malachi. He brought me through the scriptures. Corinthians, he began to show me through the scripture. He sent people in my path. They teach me about tithes. And when I started giving that 10%, no, it didn't happen overnight, but gradually I saw myself coming out of debt. Then he took me and taught me what it means to give tithes and offering, what my offering was. He began to teach me what it means to be a sower. God taught me all these things. That was over 40-some years ago. And I still give tithes of everything come in my hand. If somebody give me a love offering and stuff, I take the tithe out of it. I've been doing it. And I watch how God have brought me out of poverty and lack. I watch how he continued to supply all of my needs. So there, too, again, a lot of people don't realize, like I said, God is a giver. And there too again is being part of the kingdom of God. We supposed to be givers as well. He tells us that we post in that sixth chapter. He began and tell us about giving to the needed. You know how we supposed to give. But if you continue to even get out the four gospels and you get in the epistles with Apostle Paul and them, they even teach even more about it. Well, even, thank you, Holy Spirit, even in the four gospels, Jesus taught the people the importance of giving. Remember when they caught all them fishes? He didn't even tell them to keep all them fishes to themselves, but they was to share. When he fed the thousands, he was still teaching them about giving, how it works. So there too, again, when we start looking, like I said, when Jesus came, he preached about the kingdom. He introduced us to the kingdom. But we have to make sure we get our mind renewed and find out what he had to say. Now, like you were saying about prayer, he began to teach us, well, you know, when I came through, I thought prayer, you know, try to make the people shout, get a stir the people in motion. I didn't know, you know. Yeah, I was a novice. I didn't know nothing about the kingdom. I'm just gonna be honest with you. All I know things from a religion and a tradition point of view. I didn't know anything, but I thank God for the Holy Spirit, and I'm still learning. There's so much more that I need to learn. But what I do know some things, and I tell anybody, when it comes down to tithes and offering, you can truly give yourself out of debt. Now, some people don't believe that, but I'm talking from my own experience. You can give your, but see, the Bible said, even in the kingdom, every seed produced after its kind. Some people still haven't received that revelation yet. You know, and like I said, even with the beatitude, like you said about fasting, yeah, some people fast that you know, to put on the show and all that. But to me, when people do stuff like that, they operate in ignorance. They don't know. They don't know, and some of them, they're going by what people say instead of getting into what, because I was fasting and know I was fasting. I got saved, and for about 3 or 4 days, I couldn't eat anything. I wasn't hungry, but I didn't even know I was fasting till the Lord led me the word and showed me you fasting. So I was a dummy. I didn't know anything about the kingdom. But the Holy Spirit began to lead and guide me in the word. I would open my Bible on certain passages of scripture. When I would read it, he would just, like, he was talking to me. And I said, that's me. He talking to me. I was just, when it came down to spiritual things, I was just so dumb. I didn't know. I did not know. And you know, and I believe some of us were Hosea 4:6, that God, people are perishing and being destroyed for lack of not knowledge of what? The knowledge of God's word. You know, that's and right. So many, like I said, so many people, they get saved and they want to keep that same old mindset. No, in Romans the 12th chapter, the Bible tell us, Paul would tell him, he said, you got to renew your mind. If you don't renew your mind based upon what God's word said, you're going to continue to walk and operate in that old mindset. And in that old mindset, you is not going to experience that abundant life that he's talking about.
And I want to make a statement back to your tithing statement that you made. I want to concur. Whenever tithing, when we first started tithing, we saved more money than we had ever saved before. And somehow it came in. That was the miracle part about the blessing.
That's
part.
It.
And,
mm-hmm.
and even now, for the ministry that's happening now, I look at the amount of money that's coming out. I don't miss it. Even the money for the rent for the sports academy, I don't miss it. It's like you gave it and you've given it because of the children. You want to make you reaching out to the children. You want to make sure that they're involved, teaching them discipline, et cetera, and hoping that they will see how we carry ourselves. And like I said, I don't even miss it. And there's much more money that's going out than I had anticipated. And so that's the truth for that. That's truth to that now.
That's what he means when he said, only if you trade your own earth. That's what he's talking about.
Earth, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're keeping it real, y'all. Keeping it real. We're sharing with you what we are going through. We're not sitting up here acting like we are all self-righteous. No.
Mm-mm.
We had to learn. God had to lead us through the Holy Spirit. And so just get into the word and try it. Try it. You like it. Apostle McIntyre.
Yes, sir. You all are just doing excellent.
You know, I expected that.
You all are doing excellent, and I think what everything that we receive from God, we receive by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that we do should be by faith. And even when you all were talking about being the righteousness of God, the Bible calls it the gift of righteousness. And anytime somebody gives you a gift, you don't earn that. You don't work for that. Somebody else worked for it. Somebody else paid for it. Your part is to receive it. And so by faith, even in talking about tithing, You have to do it by faith, because there's no other way to do it and believe God to manifest what he said he would do. Everything, righteousness is not I do that. You remember when Abraham believed God. It didn't say he worked for God. It said Abraham believed God. That's in Romans 5. And he said it was imputed to him for righteousness. That's what our part is in this new covenant, is to believe God. See, when you get caught up in thinking that you got to work for it, then you have come out from under God's right. You're going about trying to establish your own righteousness. And God already told us in the Word that our righteousness was as filthy rags. That means our self-righteousness, our self-justification, what I can do to be accepted. The only way we accept it is through the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by faith, we receive that. By faith, I'm in right standing with God. It's a gift. It's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God. It's the love of God. And by faith, I receive that. Well, when I receive that by faith, then I get in the Word of God. And the Word of God, see, you're introduced to the kingdom. Now you got to learn how to live in the kingdom. And the only way you how to live righteous and holy, you know, righteousness and holiness is two different things. The way you learn to live righteous, live holy, give tithe, because you have to understand God is never going to ask you to do anything that's going to boomerang back on you and hurt you. He's out for your good. Everything God did, even sending Jesus, not because Jesus needed to be saved, but because we did. So whenever you get into this, that righteousness is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Healing is a gift. So if somebody give you a gift, if Papa Miller and I get together and say, we send you something, and it's a gift, you ain't got to pay for it. The thought came from us. The love came out of our heart. We paid for it on our end. We paid for it on our end. Now your part, and see, this is where a lot of believers have been taught wrong, is that when I stop smoking, stop drinking, stop lying, stop running around all this, then I'm right. No, you're righteous because when Jesus Christ moves in you, he's the righteousness of God. What you got to do is come into the realization of who's living on the inside of you. A lot of people don't have that reality. So they keep thinking, well, if I do this, if I do that, and that's why they get weird. No, our part in the new covenant is to believe that we are the righteous. We're in right standing with God. Jesus took care of it all. Now, that doesn't give us a license to sin and live any kind of way. I am in no means, no way saying that. Because when you look at all that Jesus paid, the price he paid, the cruelty of the crucifixion, the fact that, you know, he could have stayed in heaven, he'd have been all right. But we would have been doomed forever. And so what God wants you to know is that I don't want you working to get me to love you. I want you to receive the revelation that I already love you. I want you to receive that I am your righteousness, that you can drop anything. You can give me all you have. If you just receive by faith, believe that I said it, attach your faith to it, see yourself. See, a lot of people don't. You ask them, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You ain't no old sinner. You were a sinner. You got saved by grace. Now you're a born-again believer. You're not. You can't be an old sinner and a believer, too. Now, what trips a lot of people up is the spirit is totally 100% saved, permeated with the life of God. The soul you've got to bring. It's got to be transformed. It's got to be renewed. Like Prophet Miller said, when she came, she didn't know nothing. Well, join the club. None of us did. And there's so much that we're still yet to learn. But God, the Holy Ghost, is going to continue to teach us. But what we got to understand that none of your works will ever qualify you to God. You got to come to God based on what Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone did. His blood. If he says I'm righteous, I'm righteous. If he says I'm healed, I'm healed. If he tells me
I'm
to
healed.
Go,
yes.
And to heal, that's what I do. And I do it based on faith, taking him at his word. Yes. It's through your grace, God, that we're saved. It's through the shedding of your blood. It's through the stripes on your back. And you put that gift of righteousness on it. Now what I got to do is get my soul to get in the word and find out what my spirit knows to be the truth. I am the righteousness of Christ Jesus, because it's a gift from God. And just like I received eternal life as a gift, righteousness is a gift. And we got to stop trying to work to get accepted, work to get approved. Jesus did all that when he was on the cross, and he said, it is finished. You know what that it is finished was? The old covenant. That's what was finished.
Mm-hmm.
The old covenant with his laws,
yes,
and rituals, and you got to do this and you got to do that. He said, it's finished. Now there's a brand new way have been opened up, and it's through the flesh, through the veil of my son. So righteousness is a gift, and when you begin to see what all Jesus paid for you and you really love God, it'll cause you to change. You get in that word, it will cause you to change. You'll no longer want to do the deeds of darkness. You'll no longer want to do that. But you got to get in the word. You know, being introduced to the kingdom is one thing. Learning how to live and operate in it God's way of doing and God's way of being right, is what will change our lives.
And the one thing I
like
want to do is give a pitch. I want to give a pitch for the program. It comes on at noon on Monday, and again,
yes,
on 6 o'clock on Thursday. If you want,
yes,
to really come into an understanding of faith,
yes,
and belief, Apostle Miller has done an excellent job on helping people to understand that there's a difference between faith and belief. And that can believe, but until you do something, step out on faith, you just believe.
Yes.
And then you sit there and you wonder, why isn't something happening? Why is this happening? Why isn't this changed? And so just tune in, same station, same guest number, same computer link. On Thursdays at 6 p.m. and Mondays at noon, and you will be blessed.
Amen. Amen.
I was thinking, my phone clock on it is real fast. So we got 7 minutes. So go ahead. I thought we were about out, and I wanted to put that pitch in
but
there.
You know,
go ahead.
There too again, missing that what you were saying, and I agree with you, Apostle Gwen. In this new covenant, we got to believe, and we got to act on what God's word says. I don't know about nobody else, but faith come by hearing, but we release our faith by speaking is very part of releasing faith. You know, we got to receive it, then we got to meditate on it, we got to speak it, we got to do it. And so many times, you know, we were sharing in the broadcast on yesterday how the leprosy man, he came to Jesus. And according to the Mosaic law, they did not supposed to be shown up in public. But he believed, but he acted on what he believed. And
it
by
is.
He
mm-hmm.
acting on, he went to Jesus and kneeled down and said, if you will, you can make me whole. Jesus did it.
Oh,
the woman with the issue of blood. These people, they believe, but they act on what they believe.
Yes.
And you know, so many times, like you said, with faith, you know, with faith, a lot of people there say, I believe the children ill believe that God could, but they did not act on faith. They did mumbling and grumbling, and mumbling and grumbling is part of doubt and unbelief. When you truly believe what God said, faith don't never doubt what God say. Faith show us what is not seen. Where in 2 Corinthians 4:18, it said, Paul said, why we look not at what is seen, but we look at what's not seen. Faith show me what's not seen. That's what I'm supposed to look at. And what faith show me that's not seen is eternal. But what I see in the natural is only temporal.
Amen.
So there too again, when we believe and act on what God's word says, that's when the reality of it begin to show up. That's when our life begin to transform. That's when the power, the ability is released to us that for what God said or begin to manifest in our life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple.
Amen.
We miss it. But there too again, too many people is trying to operate in that old mindset. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Jesus, we put new wine in new wineskin. We don't put it in the same old wineskin. He was trying to show them there too again. But like you said, Apostle, it is so important. And I have to tell myself sometimes when certain thoughts coming, now, Ann, the word said this, Ann, you going to think on what the word say. And you're going to cast down your imagination. Because them thoughts, and people need to learn, anytime a thought of discouragement or disappointment coming to you, that is not the thought of God. Condemnation.
That's right.
Not God doing that to you. But if you're not a student of the word, you are taking on. Well, maybe just, you know, for a long time, I was taught when trouble or adversity hit or suffering comes, that's God trying to teach you something through the suffering. That wasn't true.
Yeah.
Because
right.
I started, like I said, when I got saved, I didn't know nothing about no kingdom, you know, and I was so messed up. And so when I started reading the word, I told the Lord, I said, I ain't seeing none of this happening. This ain't happening now. But then the Lord began to show me. He said two words, unbelief. What do you mean, unbelief? You know, and there too again, we all, the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. He the teacher.
That's right.
But I find out sometimes, you know, we're trying to teach ourselves. So we still trying to reason. We still sometimes trying to figure out. But you can't figure out. You can't do it because it's already figured out. God done already, it's
That's
a
right.
table set before us. And I was like, all we got to do is just believe and have faith and take God at his word. And I'm telling sometimes your soul, because your soul, you didn't get a new soul, you'll wrestle with it sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But your soul will come under total submission if you decide, no, and begin to, and I notice when certain thoughts come to my mind, I open my mouth. I said, that is not the thought of God. I arrest that thought, and I bring you on the total submission. And
that's
I begin to remind me, I said, I have the mind of Christ. When unclean, unpure thoughts want to come, I said, this is not my thought. I said, I've been born again. I have the mind of Christ. It ain't no unclean thought. It's not mine. This not, and I can't just thought that. And I notice it just goes. But you have to open your mouth. Faith calls for action, and part of action on faith is opening up our mouth and saying what God's word say about what we're dealing with.
Amen.
Now, that part is so true until, you know, it takes a while for us to understand that, because like you,
I agree.
I was not taught that. I was not taught that. I was taught the more you suffer, the greater your reward is going to be when you get to him and all of that. I was supposed, I got to a point where I stayed with my mom. I ain't suffering. I'm sorry. And God had to bring me, to show me his meaning, what he meant about suffering. And as a result of that, I'm able to now to understand the fact that in suffering, that is growth. And in suffering, God is present. Right. God is present. And the whole my spiritual growth has taken place because I look back. Now, I went through that already. And going through that, God was with me. I was able to overcome all of that stuff. And that gave me that leap of faith right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have 46
seconds. Our flesh that suffer, that's the thing that I had to learn. The Bible said, even as Jesus suffered in the flesh, arm yourself likewise. It's our flesh suffer when it can't do what it want to do versus what God want us to do. And when we deny our flesh and don't let it do what it want to do because it's going to go against what God, that's what suffer. And I had to learn it. That's why Jesus told the disciples, if you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself. There too, again, these are some of the things we had to relearn. Because I don't like you. People, you suffer when you ain't got money to pay your bill. That's what Christ wants you to suffer like. You sick, you suffer. He's trying to teach you something. That wasn't none of God.
No.
I can count it all joy as I go through trials and tribulation. And that's what the word says. And you learn the word, you stand on the word, and as you go through it, you got joy. People looking
that's
at you. Wonder how is it that you can do? How can you do that? How can you be joyful? What is it? And that gives to me that gives you an opportunity to witness to people. Whether you open your mouth and say anything to them or not, you have witnessed to them when they saw how you went through those trials and tribulations and still held on to the word.
Amen.
Well, Apostle McIntyre, would you like to pray us out? We're over time, but nobody's coming behind us, so we're all right.
Okay. Gracious Father, thank you so much for this time we've had together. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for placing in our mouths that which you would have us speak to your people. Father, we're so honored to be a part of the greatest family that ever exists. We thank you, God, that you're our Father, Jesus, that you're our Savior, Holy Spirit, glory to God, our teacher, intercessor, standby, strengthener. Father, I just thank you that your word has energized us, your word has challenged us, your word has caused us to come up higher, your word has caused faith to come. Father, I thank you for Apostle Armstrong and Apostle Miller. I thank you for bringing us together, God. I thank you that your word is not void of power. I thank you, Lord God, for all those that have been listening. I pray for everyone in the listening audience tonight. I pray that they will have divine encounters with God that will literally change their lives and cause them to become God inside-minded and kingdom-minded. Father, we thank you that your word is going forth and covering the earth just like the waters. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for the stripes on your body. Thank you, God, that we are who you say we are. We can do what you say we can do, and we have what you say we can have. I pray kingdom blessings upon everyone that's listening. Cover you with the blood of Jesus. Surround you with the angels of God. And I pray that by the supernatural anointing and power of God, rest from sleep tonight. A great weekend, a great Labor Day, free from any accidents or mishaps. God, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise for it all. In the precious holy name of Jesus the Christ.
Jesus.
Amen and amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, thank you, thank you. I did not know where God was going with this, but... It's just awesome. It was an awesome experience. All right, everybody.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Well, shalom.